Today we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 13. Chapter 13 is entitled The Appearance of Lord Varahadev. And today we are on text 6. Translation. The sage Maitreya said to Vidura, after his appearance, Manu, the father of mankind, along with his wife, thus addressed the reservoir of Vedic wisdom, Brahma, with obeisances and folded hands. Since there's no purport, we'll read text 7 as well. Translation. You are the father of all living entities and the source of their subsistence, because they are all born of you. Please order us how we may be able to render service unto you. Purport. A son's duty is not only to make the father the source of supply for all his needs, but also, when he is grown up, to render service unto him. That is the law of creation, beginning from the time of Brahma. A father's duty is to bring up the son until he is grown, and when the son is grown up, it is his duty to render service unto the father. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhutta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing chapter 13. And we are seeing that in the previous chapter, Brahma had created the Kumaras and all the other sons with the purpose of procreating the universe. So he was trying to create progenitors who would further populate the universe, because the universe has just been created. And now Brahma's duty, Krishna tells him that your duty is to populate the universe. So Brahma is trying to create sons who will help him to populate the universe. So we saw in the previous chapter how he attempted to create some sons, but his attempts were foiled. And now towards the end of the previous chapter and just at the beginning of this chapter, Brahma has created Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa. They actually came out of the body of Brahma and they divided into two as husband and wife. And now we are seeing here the conversation between Swayambhuva Manu and Brahma. So Swayambhuva Manu, as soon as he is born, he is very submissive to Lord Brahma. So he is immediately standing there with folded hands in front of Brahma. And he's requesting him to tell him what service can he render to him. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that this is what is the duty of a son towards the father. The father's duty is to take care of the son till he grows up. And then it is the son's duty to render some service to the father when he is old. So we are seeing over here that Prabhupada is talking about both the duties of the father as well as of the son. So Prabhupada, when he talks about how both should take care of each other, Prabhupada is talking about the material duties of the father and the son. But when we talk about the spiritual duties of father, the Bhagavatam says in the, it will come in the future sections, where it is said that Gurur na sasyat, Svajano na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, Janani na sasyat. So one should not become a worshipable father, a spiritual master, a mother, a demigod or an elderly relative until he is able to deliver the dependents, whoever is dependent on him, to the lotus feet of Krishna or back to Godhead. So there the spiritual duty of a father is explained. That is the duty of a father. If he is bringing a child into this world, if he is bringing a soul into this world, it is his duty to deliver that child back to Krishna. So the father has to conduct himself in such a way, plus he has to give knowledge to his child in such a way that the son will become a devotee of Lord Krishna and the path to Godhead is open for the son, the path back to Godhead. So that is the spiritual duty of a father. Now what is the spiritual duty of a son? The duty of a son is to actually look after such a father. If the father is attempting to deliver the son back to Godhead, then the son should not reject such a father. We see sometimes, you know, there are many children who parents are trying to deliver the children, but obviously every child comes with his own karma. But ideally, if the Bhagavatam says that the spiritual duty of a son is to look after such a father. And in fact, the Lord is very happy when a child looks after such a father, which is evident from many instances of the Lord's life himself when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the Lord was present as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed two of his dear associates, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. They are both exalted Goswamis. They were both exalted Vaishnavas and exalted sannyasis. But he instructs both of them to look after their parents. So in the pastime of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is actually the son of Tapan Mishra. And Tapan Mishra is a very, very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya. He was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya for many years. And then when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was born, in fact, Tapan Mishra wanted to move to Navadvip, it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the Lord tells him that, no, you go to Banaras and I'll come and give you association there. So Tapan Mishra actually settles down in Banaras. And when the Lord used to go there, he had stayed in Banaras for some time. At that time, the Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that the Lord used to have prasadam at Tapan Mishra's house. And at that time, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami used to serve him. He was little, but he used to serve the Lord very nicely. So he actually then, when he was leaving, he told Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he gave him the instructions that you serve your parents and then only you come and join me. Because Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was feeling a lot of separation from the Lord. You can just imagine if the Lord himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming to our house and taking prasad. So how purifying that will be and how nectarian that association will be. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was a pure devotee. So how much separation he was feeling when the Lord was ready to leave. But the Lord instructs him that you please serve your parents because they are getting elderly. You serve them, they are Vaishnavas. And once they have passed away from this material world, then you can come and join my movement. And then you can come to Vrindavan. That is how Lord instructs Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami actually does that. Although in his heart he was feeling separation from the Lord and he was yearning to join and have the association of the Lord and his devotees. But because the Lord had instructed him and his parents were very pure devotees of the Lord, he actually stayed at home, he served them very nicely. And only then, when he had fulfilled his duties towards his parents, at that time he actually left and he went to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We also see in the pastime of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami is the son of the famous Vyankata Bhatta, who was from South India. And we've heard many pastimes about Vyankata Bhatta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to tour south, went for the South India tour, he stayed for a long time in Vyankata Bhatta's house. And there are many famous conversations which happened because Vyankata Bhatta was an ardent worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan. So there were many conversations which happened between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vyankata Bhatta, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to joke with Vyankata Bhatta that if you are so you're devoted to Lakshmi Narayan, why does your chaste Lakshmi want to enter the Ras Leela? So these are the types of conversations they used to have. But Vyankata Bhatta was very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also and very pure devotee of Narayan. So even when he used to take prasad there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take prasad there again, little Gopal Bhatta Goswami was quite young at that time. So he used to serve the Lord nicely. He used to clean the plate where the place where the Lord was going to eat prasadam. And after the Lord has taken prasadam, he would again clean up that place, help to his parents to serve the Lord prasadam. So in this way, Gopal Bhatta Goswami rendered so much service to the Lord. And when the 4 months of the Chaturmasya were over and the Lord had to leave Venkata Bhatta's house and go back to Jagannath Puri, that time Gopal Bhatta Goswami, it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he almost fainted. Because again, he is also a pure devotee of the Lord. So he almost fainted in separation from the Lord. And then the Lord lovingly picked him up and the Lord told him that no, you do not give up the service of your old parents. You wait till they leave the world and then only you come to serve me. But don't worry, you come to Vrindavan after that. But till your parents are alive, you have to stay here in South India and you have to serve your parents. And again, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was in so much agony of separation from the Lord. He really wanted to go and join the Lord. He really wanted to be in the association of the other Goswamis in Vrindavan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions were that he should serve his parents. So he actually patiently waited. He served his parents very nicely. And when they were very old and they knew they are going to leave the world, Venkata Bhat actually called Gopal Bhatta Goswami and he instructed him. So although Venkata Bhat was from the Sri Sampradaya, but because he was so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his son he gave the freedom as well as the instruction that you please go and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means he was actually instructing him, go and join the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And he told him that your entire life after that, you please serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. And that is what Gopal Bhatta Goswami did. He waited till his parents passed away, and once they had left the world, he served them nicely till they left the world. And then once they had left the world, he went and joined in Vrindavan with the other Goswamis. And the Lord was so pleased, both with Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. The Lord was so pleased to see this, that both of them have rendered service to their parents and only then they have come. So the Lord did not prematurely ask them that, no, you all are such pure devotees, so you all need not worry about any other obligations or duties. You can straight away come and serve me. No. The Lord knew that both these devotees' parents were also very nice devotees, so they should serve their parents and then only they should come and join me and render devotional service unto me. And in this regard, there is a famous pastime in Pandharpur. Many of you must be aware of that pastime. There was a devotee called Pundalik. And he was actually, it is mentioned in one of the scriptures, that he was staying in the village called Pandharpur, and he was actually quite greedy. He was a Brahmin by birth and very greedy and money-minded. So he did not want to bear the burden of looking after his parents. So he actually drove his parents out because it was a bit expensive for him to look after his parents in their old age. So he drove his parents out. So his parents actually were nice, very nice devotees of the Lord. And they saw that there was a yatra going to Pandharpur to worship the Lord. So they also joined that yatra. And even Pundalik went on that yatra. So the entire yatra was going on foot. And the parents, old parents, were also somehow traveling on foot, enduring lots of difficulties. But Pundalik had actually taken a horse-drawn chariot. And he passed his parents on the way, but he did not even bother to look after his parents or tell them, y'all also get on the chariot or something like that. And then every night they used to stay somewhere. So one of the places he stayed in a person's house called Rohit Das. And this person was actually very devoted to his parents. So he had a very simple hut in which he was living on the banks of a very holy river. And there he was serving his parents very nicely. He actually did not even join the yatra because his parents were elderly and they needed his attention. And this Pundalik saw that this Rohit Das is serving his parents so nicely. And one night he saw there were three pearl ladies, very ugly looking ladies, who were rising from that river which was near his hut. And he went and asked these ladies that, who are you and why are you in this form? So the three ladies told him that, we are actually Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati personified. And because so many people come and take bath, so many sinful people come and take bath in our waters, we actually get so contaminated. In fact, that is the section we recently studied in our Bhakti Vedanta course. We just finished our exam for the second section. And there the pastime of Bhagiratha bringing the Ganga down is there to actually deliver his forefathers. How he brings the Ganga down. So many of his forefathers actually try to bring the Ganga down, but none of them succeed. But because Bhagiratha was a good devotee of the Lord, Ganga actually agrees to come down. And when Ganga agrees to come down, she had two concerns. She said, first of all, I'm so powerful, because she was in the heavenly planets. So she said, I'm so powerful that if I come down as it is, then the earth will actually be like flooded. It will go down into the Garbhodaka ocean because the earth won't be able to sustain the power of the force of my power. So that is my first concern, that how do we handle this situation where it will actually inundate the earth and it might go down into the Garbhodaka ocean. And the second concern, which was a very pressing concern for Ganga Mata, was that once I come down to the earthly planet, she knew that on the earth there are mixed devotees, there are even sinful people. So she said that people will know the glories of Ganga and lots of people will come to take bath and everybody will wash their sins into my holy waters and then I will become contaminated. So what will I do then when I become contaminated? I'm very concerned about that. And then King Bhagiratha addresses both the issues. He tells her that first problem, he says that I will pray to Lord Shiva that he actually sustains the force of your waters on his jata, on his matted locks, because Lord Shiva is so powerful that he'll be able to do that. And actually Lord Shiva agrees, and therefore we see in many pictures that Ganga is actually coming out of the locks of Lord Shiva. So it is mentioned that Lord Shiva took the entire force of Ganga on his matted locks, and Shiva is so powerful that actually Ganga Devi got lost in the matted locks. Imagine, she was worried that the whole earth will get flooded, but here she's got lost in the matted locks of Shiva. And he allowed only a small trickle of the Ganga to come out of his matted locks. And that is the Ganga which we see now in the material world, in the earthly planet. So that first problem Bhagiratha solved by praying to Lord Shiva, who agreed to take the force of Ganga on his head. And the second problem how Bhagiratha solved, where she said that I'll become contaminated because of the sins of people. He said that whenever pure devotees of the Lord come and take a bath in your holy waters, they will actually purify you. Like we see in Yudhishthir Maharaj praying to Vidura in the first canto. When Vidura came after pilgrimage, the war and everything was over, and Yudhishthir Maharaj was already ruling the kingdom. Vidura came after a long time to meet all of them, and his main purpose of coming was actually to deliver Dhritarashtra. But he comes there, and that time Yudhishthir Maharaj praises Vidura. He says, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. He says that people like you, advanced devotees like you, are actually verily holy places personified, because you all carry the Lord within your heart. So the same assurance Bhagiratha gives to Ganga Mata. He says that whenever pure devotees of the Lord take bath in your holy waters, they will actually nullify all the contamination that has come because of sinful people taking bath. So the same thing we see here. Pundalik is observing that these three ugly ladies have come out, and they are saying we are Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati personified. And when so many people, sinful people took bath, we have become like this, so contaminated and ugly. But we come here every time just to have darshan of Rohit Das and to take bath in this water where Rohit Das takes bath, because he is serving his parents so well. So we get purified because of his association. And at that time Pundalik Das has a realization. He realizes that just by serving the parents, Rohit Das has become such a glorious personality that the three rivers are coming to have his darshan and his association. So then he realizes his mistake, and he goes and begs forgiveness from his old parents. And after that he takes them back home, and he really starts looking after them very well. And he looks after them so well that his glory spread throughout the village. And the Lord becomes eager then to have his darshan. So it is mentioned that the Lord comes to take to meet Pundalik Das. And at that time he is busy serving his parents. It was his time maybe for massage or something for his parents. So the Lord comes and announces from outside that, O Pundalik, I have come to meet you. Krishna has personally come to meet him. And Pundalik Das actually apologizes to the Lord and very humbly says that I cannot come to meet you now because I am serving my parents. Can you please wait for some time? And he actually gives a brick, like throws a brick outside to the Lord. And he tells them that you please wait on this brick. Once I finish serving my parents, I will come and meet you. So this is the conversation Pundalik does. And it is not that the Lord gets offended. The Lord is so pleased to see Pundalik rendering such nice service to his parents. So the Lord actually waits on that brick for some time. And because he gets tired of waiting, he puts his hands on his hips. And that is the form we see of Lord Vitthal in Pandharpur. So the Lord in Pandharpur, he is Krishna only, but he is called as Vitthal because he stood on a brick. So a brick, I think in Marathi, is called as Veet. And that is why he is called Vitthal, somebody who stood on the brick. And because he was tired of waiting, his hands are like this on the hips. You know how when we get tired, we put our hands on the hips. So that is the pastime, why his hands are on the hips. So we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also very pleased when these exalted personalities serve their parents. And Lord Krishna himself was also very pleased when he saw Pundalik serving his parents very nicely. So the Lord actually desires that if, you know, any devotees have elderly parents who are also very nice devotees, then the son or the daughter should not neglect the worship of such parents. But however, there are many cases where we see that it is not possible for the son to always look after the parents. And we see, or always look after the parents, or to listen to the instructions of the father. And we see that happening in the previous chapter only. So we see that there might be two instances in which the son might not be followed, be able to follow the instructions of the father. One is when the father is demoniac, or the father is not a devotee of Lord Krishna. And that we see in the pastime, the famous pastime of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. So we see Prahlad Maharaj was father was so demoniac. He wanted Prahlad Maharaj to actually become a very exalted and opulent demon. So he all his training, everything was towards that goal. He had engaged Shanda and Amarka, very famous demon teachers, to teach him politics, Rajneeti, all these things, how to be an enemy of Vishnu, how to defeat the demigods. This was the training he was trying to give to Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj was not able to follow those instructions of his father. He was not able to take that training of his father because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So he had to reject the instructions which his father was giving him. And in fact, he was trying to instruct his father on pure devotional service. So this instance is one where if the father is not a devotee then and the son is a devotee, then the son might not be able to follow the instruction. Or sometimes the son might not be able to follow the instruction of the father if he for a higher purpose. And that is what we saw in the previous chapter. So Lord Brahma himself is telling the Kumaras in the previous chapter. The Kumaras are the sons. They are actually the firstborn sons of Brahma. And he is telling them that I've just created this universe and I need your help in populating this universe. So you go and create progeny. And the four Kumaras, all the four of them actually refuse. They refuse to follow the instructions of their father. So here the father is also exalted. He is Brahma himself. And the sons are also exalted. So it was not that the father was a demon and the instructions were something which were not good for them. But still, because the Kumaras had a higher goal in life, they wanted to stay celibate. They did not want to get entangled in Grahastha Ashram or in, you know, material life, because Grahastha Ashram can be very entangling and contaminating. So they did not want to get entangled in all that, and therefore they reject the instructions of their father. And Prabhupada says that in such instances it is okay if sometimes the son has to reject the instructions of the father. We also see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact to support this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 5th chapter, in the conversation between Narada Muni and Vasudev, Krishna's father, Narada Muni is having a conversation with him. And that time Narada Muni is telling Vasudev that someone, for a pure devotee who has surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no obligation for him to either worship the demigods, to actually worship his forefathers, or to actually render any service to any of his parents or anything like that. There is no obligation for him. Because he is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Father, and therefore he is rid of all these debts. That is what Narada Muni tells Vasudev. And this verse Prabhupada quotes so many times. I was checking on folio also. Prabhupada quotes this verse so many times when he is specially talking about the missionary devotees of ISKCON. He says that there are so many devotees in our society, International Society of Krishna Consciousness, who had to give up their homes. And they have joined the society full time to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord's mission. And that time Prabhupada quotes this verse, that because they have surrendered their lives to serving the Lord, therefore they have no obligation towards anybody else. And Prabhupada actually is meaning the verse, Yatha Taror Moola Nishchanena. That verse is there where, you know, Krishna says, it is said in the Bhagavatam again, that if you water the root of the tree, then automatically the leaves, branches, twigs, everything gets satisfied. So if you are watering the root of the tree, Yatha Taror Moola Nishchanena, Moola means root. If you are watering the root of the tree, then which is Lord Krishna, then everyone is automatically, all your forefathers, all your debts to your relatives, everything is automatically satisfied by serving Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes this verse because he is trying to say how the sannyasis in our movement or the brahmacharis in our movement are actually not at home looking after their elderly parents, but are serving the society and serving Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But therefore that this verse is being quoted by Prabhupada, that how they don't have any obligation. Even Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also quotes. He says goodbye to my morning bath and evening bath. Goodbye to the oblations that I was paying. Like according to the Vedic system, you have to pay oblations, you have to do your Sandhya Vandanam. So goodbye to all these things. Goodbye to all my obligations and debts to the demigods and to my forefathers. Because now I have surrendered unto Mukunda. And therefore I will not be able to render my services or render my debts or fulfill my obligations to all of you. So again Madhavendra Puri is also quoting this verse. And he is saying in the next verse, in the same section, in the purport where Prabhupada quotes Madhavendra Puri. He says that let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned. Or let the so-called, people of the world who are on the moral platform or mode of goodness platform saying that, oh, you should look after your parents and all that. Let all of them think, let my brothers and relatives think that I'm a fool and I've rejected them. But I do not care because again, I've surrendered unto the lotus feet of Mukunda and I have no further obligations to all of them. So we see these verses reconciling, because when we hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami or Gopal Bhatta Goswami, or we hear how Krishna was so pleased with the service of Pundalik to his parents, then we get this feeling, then what about some of the devotees in ISKCON who have given up their homes, some of the sannyasis and brahmacharis who have given up their homes and who are here serving Prabhupada's mission. And therefore Prabhupada quotes this verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is as far as spiritual duties are concerned. But in this verse, Prabhupada is talking that how it's the father's duty to look after the son till he's grown up. So Prabhupada is talking about the material duties also of the father and the son. So, but we see that in Kali Yuga, all these things are muddled up. It is so complicated and everything is so degraded now in Kali Yuga. So what to speak of spiritual duties? Most of the time fathers are not even aware that there is a duty they have to deliver their sons back to Godhead. Neither are the sons aware. All of them are steeped in sense gratification. But not only that, so forget about spiritual duties, but we see that in Kali Yuga even fathers are not doing their material duties of looking after children. Why do we see so many abortions happening, first of all? So it is not that just the mother is to blame. It is because the father is not responsible. He is not supporting the mother. First of all, there was illicit sex probably, or he is not supporting, he is not ready to marry that girl. And therefore we are seeing that there is abortion, there is no support for the woman, so she goes and aborts the child. So Prabhupada says it's the duty of the father to look after the son till he is grown up. But we see in Kali Yuga that is not the case. Fathers don't even look up what to look after the son till he is grown up. They are not even allowing them to come into the world properly. So that is what we see, and even as far as sons are concerned also we see that system has broken down. Prabhupada says that after the father has looked after the son till he is grown up, then it is the son's duty to actually look after the father when he is old. But we see again the whole joint family system has broken down. Families are becoming so nuclear, there are single units, it is becoming all unit based. First of all, divorce rate is high. Husband, wife don't stay together. And even in places where they do stay together, but the system has broken down of joint family. So no sons, not many sons are ready. Especially in the Western culture, why do we have so many old age homes? If you see the newspapers, there is so much advertisements for old age homes. And actually it is said that in Western countries, people save. Once their children are grown up, then they don't pay for their university education and all. They start saving to actually reserve that room in that old age home for the rest of their life. Because old age homes are quite expensive. Till you die, then you'll be in the old age home and you don't know how long you'll live for. So actually there is a big deposit and there is a monthly maintenance you have to pay. And all these people are actually saving for their own old age. Because no sons are going to look after them when they are grown up. The son has gone his way. And in India also we see that joint family system was existent, but now it's breaking down so much. In India also we see so many problems. Sons are not looking after their elderly parents are living alone. Or the system is that children are traveling abroad to come and earn money and they are not there with their parents to look after them. So we see that his whole system has become so complicated of father-son's duties in Kali Yuga especially, what Prabhupada is mentioning over here. So they are not fulfilling their spiritual duties, but there is no fulfillment of material duties also in Kali Yuga, either from the father's side or from the son's side. So that is what Prabhupada is explaining to us in this purport, that how not only material duties but even spiritual duties should be fulfilled. And today is also the disappearance day of of Lokanath Goswami. So we will spend the remaining time to speak a little bit about Lokanath Goswami. It's very purifying to speak about these personalities on their appearance or disappearance day. In fact, 2 days ago, it was also the disappearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, about whom we discussed today. So Lokanath Goswami Maharaj, he is an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was there during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Actually, it is said that he was born in Jessore district. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned. He is born in Jessore district, which is presently Bangladesh. And the Jessore district is so pure. It is a very, very holy place, because not only Lokanath Goswami, but even Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Anupam Goswami, and Haridas Thakur. All these personalities were born in Jessore district. So Lokanath Goswami's father's name was Padmanabh Chakravarti and his mother's name was Sita Devi. So these were his parents and he was born in Jessore district. So when he was very young, since a young age, Lokanath Goswami had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was very attached to him. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. So since a young age, Lokanath Goswami moved to Navadvip and he was actually a very intimate associate of the Lord in Navadvip. He participated in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leela of spreading the Harinam Sankirtan in Navadvip. So even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Lokanath Goswami was an intimate associate. He was there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spreading the Sankirtan. He was there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they used to have the Sankirtan in Srivas Thakur's house. It is mentioned that Srivas Thakur's house was actually called as Rasasthali. So it is non-different than Rasamandala in Vrajabhumi where Krishna has Rasleela with the gopis. Srivas Thakur's house where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to have Kirtan day and night in that courtyard, Srivas Angan, is that pastime is actually the same as Krishna having Rasleela with the gopis, Prabhupada says. So such a pure holy place that is, and Lokanath Goswami was part of all those Sankirtan movement or Sankirtan which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing in Navadvip. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was almost 24 years old and he was up going to take sannyas soon, he had decided in his mind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Lokanath Goswami aside and he revealed his heart to him in confidence. He told him that Lokanath, in very soon, I am going to adopt the robes of sannyasi. I am going to shave my head off and I am going to accept a danda. And I know that you are very attached to me and I know how miserably you will suffer if you see me in that condition, and therefore I don't want you to be present when I perform that pastime of taking sannyas. So I want you to leave Navadvip and I want you to go to Vrindavan. That is the instruction Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives Lokanath Goswami. So he said that when you go to Vrindavan, like Lokanath Goswami was devastated, first of all, when he heard these news. He said that, my Lord, why are you trying to, tell me that you are going to shave off these beautiful locks of hair? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he had very beautiful locks of hair. Black, flaving hair, long hair Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, and all the devotees were in love with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair. And therefore Lokanath Goswami says, why do you want to shave that head off? In fact, it is mentioned the barber who actually did the shaving, when he took sannyas, the barber who first shaved the hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is mentioned that he was also devastated shaving the hair of beautiful hair off of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he actually gave up the service of the occupation of being a barber. He said, I cannot touch a razor again in my life after shaving the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So same thing Lokanath Goswami expresses to him. He says, why you want to shave that beautiful head off and accepting the robes of sannyas with a danda at such a young age? Why you want to do that, my Lord? So he actually tried to convince the Lord. But he realized that the Lord is very resolute in his determination to take sannyas. And he realized he will not be able to see this pastime. So then Lokanath Goswami decides to follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I am very devastated to hear that you are going to leave the association of your mother, your loving mother Sachi Mata. You are going to leave the association of all these loving associates with whom you had been doing Sankirtan in Navadvip. And what about your young, chaste and faithful and loving wife? How can you give her up? You just got married to her some time ago. How can you give her up? But I will not be able to see this pastime. So I will accept your instructions and I will go to Vrindavan. So he agrees to go to Vrindavan. And he says that, but you must please come, my Lord, to Vrindavan, because I won't be able to live in separation from you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assures him that my plan is that as soon as I take sannyas, I will come on foot to Vrindavan and my plan is to reside in Vrindavan as a sannyasi. So then it gives little bit solace to Lokanath Goswami. And then he prepares to leave to Vrindavan. So it is mentioned that it's not that, how we decide to go, like people like me especially, that oh, there is a yatra or something, so we book our tickets and we go off to Vrindavan. That was not the mood. Lokanath Goswami actually went to each and every of the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Dham. And he went and took the blessings. He humbly fell at all their feet and he begged for their mercy and he took their blessings before he left for Vrindavan. He said, only if your mercy and blessings are there, then I will be able to enter Vrindavan Dham. Because it is such a holy place, I cannot enter without the mercy and blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So he humbly approached all these Vaishnavas and took their blessings. And in this way, Loknath Goswami was actually teaching us how we should approach Vrindavan Dham whenever we want to go to any holy Dham. So with humility, he begged for blessings, and then he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he fell at his feet and he took his blessings as well. And again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured him that I will come to Vrindavan, don't worry. After receiving Sannyas Mantra from Keshav Bharati, in Khatwa, I will actually proceed to Vrindavan straight from there. So then Loknath Goswami started travelling to Vrindavan, and in those days obviously you had to travel by foot. So all the way from Navadvip he started walking to Vrindavan, and he visited many holy places also on the way. But all the time he was crying in separation from the Lord. He used to faint actually thinking about the Lord, then again he would get up, he would walk, but again he would be in so much of agony of separation. But he used to think also, okay, the Lord is going to come and meet me. But again that also used to give him agony, because he realized that when he will see the Lord, he would have shaved off his hair and he would be wearing the robes of a sannyasi with a danda. How will I be able to see my Lord in such a condition? So in these mixed feelings, Loknath Goswami was actually walking towards Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, Loknath Goswami waited and waited. Once he reached there, he was just passing his days waiting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has assured me that he will come to Vrindavan. So he waited and waited, and then suddenly he got the heart, thunderbolt type news. And that news was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually on his way to Vrindavan after taking sannyas. But we know the pastime, how Lord Nityananda actually diverted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want him to go to Vrindavan. So Nityananda Prabhu actually tricked Lord Chaitanya and he diverted him to Shantipur, to Advaita Acharya's house, where Sachi Mata and all the devotees were waiting to have his darshan. And there Sachi Mata requests Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please don't go away to Vrindavan. Don't make Vrindavan your residence, because that is so far away from Navadvip that we will not even be able to get any news from you. So you please make Jagannath Puri your residence, because that is close to Navadvip. At least we'll be able to come and see you sometimes. All the associates were requesting, and we will keep getting news of you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to reciprocate with the feelings of his devotees, agreed to make Jagannath Puri as his residence. And when Loknath Goswami heard this news, he was completely devastated, because he was just surviving in Vrindavan in the hope that one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come and he will have the association of his beloved Lord again. So he was just waiting, and then he decided that no, I have to now go. I have to go and meet the Lord. Because he didn't come to Vrindavan, I will at least go to Puri and meet the Lord. So he actually walked all the way. And he walked all the way, and he went to Puri. And there he got the news that Lord Chaitanya has actually gone to South India for a tour. So then from Puri, he was just on the outskirts of Puri when he got the news. So he walked all the way back to South India. And when he reached South India, because we know obviously in those days, first of all, the mode of transport was walking, especially for all these Goswamis and all like sannyasis. And secondly, there were no emails, phones, such that they could be in touch with each other. So the news, it was very difficult to get news on those days. In fact, it is mentioned that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, for almost 2 years he was there, he toured South India. At that time, the devotees in Navadvip had no idea about what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing, or what were his pastimes over there, or whether he was still on the planet. Absolutely, they had no idea. Only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned, and then they heard the pastimes from Kal Krishnadas and all, they came to know what were the Lord's leelas in his South India yatra. So in the same way, Loknath Goswami had no idea. So he walked to South India, and by the time he reached South India, he came to know that the Lord has left South India again and he has gone back to Puri. So then he walked all the way back to Puri. And again when he reached Puri and on the outskirts he was there, at that time he came to know that the Lord did not come to Puri, he went to Vrindavan. So you can imagine how devastated he was and how flustered he was feeling. Because he had left Vrindavan to get darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now he heard that the Lord is in Vrindavan. So he quickly walked back again to Vrindavan. But when he reached Vrindavan, he came to know that the Lord has actually left. The Lord was there for 2 months in Vrindavan. In Kartik month he was there. He did parikrama of all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. But now he has left. Just a few days ago he left because he wanted to participate in the Magh Mela in Prayag. In January that Magh Mela is there. So the Lord had started walking towards Prayag and he's already gone. So Loknath Goswami was completely devastated. And he didn't know what to do. He started repenting in his heart that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told me that you stay in Vrindavan and you prepare for my arrival there and I will come. And now when the Lord has come, I was not there to receive him. I did not render my service properly to my Lord. So in this way he was lamenting. And it was night when he had reached. So he decided, okay, now no more this thing. Next day morning I am also going to Prayag. At least this time I have definite news, so I will go and meet the Lord in Prayag. So and the, saying like that, in the night he went to sleep. But at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him darshan in a divine vision. And he told him that, O Loknath Goswami, I am very pleased with you. And I know how much love is there in your heart for me. So please don't come to Prayag to meet me. I want you to stay here in Vrindavan only. And I want you to wait because many of my associates like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the different Goswamis are going to come to Vrindavan. So I want you to stay in Vrindavan and I want all of you all to stay as brothers. And I want all of you all to cooperate to fulfill my plans for Vrindavan. Because the Lord wanted, he had sent Rupa and Sanatan Goswami to excavate all the holy places where Krishna performed his pastimes and to write literatures. These were the instructions they were given. So he said, you please be with them and cooperatively staying as brothers, you help them to fulfill my plans for Vrindavan. And I'm very pleased with you, so don't feel any separation from me. And when Loknath Goswami had this vision from Lord Chaitanya, then he decided, his heart was a little bit pacified. And then he decided to stay in Vrindavan, waiting for Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami to arrive. So when he was staying in Vrindavan, he used to wander through all the forests of Vrindavan. And he actually decided to make his place like his bhajana kutir in a secluded place under a simple tree in a forest called Khadiravan. On the banks of Kishori Kund, it is said. There is a river, a small kunda called Kishori Kund Khadiravan. And Loknath Goswami decided to make his simple dwelling on the banks of that Kishori Kund in Khadiravan. So Khadiravan is the same place where Krishna and Balaram used to come to graze their cows with the cowherd boys. And it's the same place where Krishna actually killed the demon Bakasura. So that is the holy place Khadiravan, and that is where Loknath Goswami decided to make his place. So in Loknath Goswami's heart, he started staying there and he started performing his bhajan there in a very secluded place. He was not associating with anybody else. He was just waiting for Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami to come. So in seclusion he used to do his bhajan. But in his heart of heart, Loknath Goswami was actually cherishing a desire that he wants to worship the deity form of Lord Krishna. But he did not mention this desire to anyone and he was anyway doing his bhajan in seclusion. Only sometimes Bhugarbha Goswami, who is an intimate disciple, a very close associate of Gadadhar Pandit. So Bhugarbha Goswami used to come there and both of them used to stay in Khadiravan together. And they used to do their bhajan together. They used to do Sankirtan together. But then again Bhugarbha Goswami would go away to roam, wander the other forests of Vrindavan. So even he did not know. So Loknath Goswami had not told the desire of his heart to anybody, that he is cherishing this desire to have Lord Krishna in the deity form. But obviously the Lord knows the desire of his pure devotees. So the Lord actually took the form of a Brahmin. And he came there where Loknath Goswami was sitting under that simple tree on the bank of Kishori Kund in Khadiravan. And he actually put something in Loknath Goswami's hand and he disappeared. And then when Loknath Goswami saw what it was, he saw that it was a beautiful deity of Krishna. And he was so intricately carved and so beautiful to look at that Loknath Goswami's heart was in ecstasy. And he started wondering that where did that Brahmin go? He started looking for the Brahmin, but the Brahmin had disappeared. And then the deity, who was later named as Radha Vinod. So the deity spoke to Loknath Goswami. And he said that you are cherishing the desire to worship me since a long time. And I knew the innermost desire of your heart. So I was actually living in this Khadiravan for a long, long time without being worshipped. But I have now myself come to you without the help of anyone. Nobody knew that I wanted to come to you. Nobody knew the desire of your heart. So I have myself come to you. So now you please render service to me. And you can start worshipping me. And right now I'm very hungry, so please feed me. So this is the instruction the deity gives to Loknath Goswami. So immediately Loknath Goswami, he was in so much ecstasy. He actually was swooning for some time, but then he realized that now he has a deity and he has to render service to him. So he immediately, he was a simple Goswami who did not have any means, any facilities. And actually we have to remember that Loknath Goswami went to Vrindavan even before Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had gone. So none of the places of the pastimes had been discovered yet. So Vrindavan was still completely lost. It was just a forest. There were not many facilities and all available to Loknath Goswami. So he keeps the deity. He first creates a very small altar under a tree. And he keeps the deity there. And then he goes to the nearby village, which was called as Umrao. And he goes to the village and to the villagers. And he goes and begs for some bhoga so that he can come and cook for the Lord. So whatever he gets from the villagers, and then he picks up some fruits and roots and all that from the forest. And he creates like a fire with wood and all, and he cooks for the Lord. With his own loving hands, he cooks the offering for the Lord. And then again, he did not have anything to offer on also. So he cuts some banana leaves and he nicely washes them and he serves the Lord in that banana plate. And in this way, he offers bhoga to the Lord, made with his own loving hands on the banana plate. And after he has offered the bhoga, then when it's night time, he knew he has to put the Lord to rest. So again, no facilities available. So he goes and plucks some flowers from the forest. And he makes a small bed of flowers, again under the same tree. And actually he puts the Lord to rest over there on those flowers, on the flower bed. And he tells Radha Vinod that, "My Lord, I don't have any facilities. I don't have any opulent beds and all to give you. So you please accept this simple bed of flowers which I've made for you. And you take rest on this bed." So he puts the deity there and then he collects some leaves again from the forest. See, this is how he teaches us that the Lord is not actually after opulent things. The Lord is bhavagrahi. So whatever facilities you have, you render service with that. So he goes and collects some leaves from the forest again and he makes a fan out of it. And while the Lord is resting on the bed of flowers, he fans the Lord. So in this way he started worshipping Radha Vinod and he was worshipping him to the fulfillment of his heart's desire. He was so content worshipping the Lord in his own simple ways. Then he also goes and begs because he had to many times go around begging and all. So he did not want to leave the Lord behind. He was afraid to leave the Lord behind. So he goes and begs some cloth from the villagers and then he stitches a small cloth bag and that became the temple of Radha Vinod. So whenever he used to go, he used to put the deity inside the cloth bag around his shoulders. And he used to take the deity wherever he used to go. So if we go and see Radha Vinod, the original deities are actually there in Jaipur. They are only 12 inches tall. They are very small deities. And their Pratibim Murti is there actually in Radha Gokulananda temple, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur later on established. So in this way, Loknath Goswami was carrying Radha Vinod around in the bag. And many villagers saw that. And they saw that this deity is so beautiful. It's a self-manifest deity of Krishna with beautiful features, nice cowed hands and everything. So the villagers offer to Loknath Goswami that, "We can make a temple for your deity. Please allow us to render this service to you." But Loknath Goswami would not accept. Because he was simple at heart, he wanted to render service in his own simple way to the Lord with whatever facilities he could generate for the Lord. And the Lord was also very happy living in that cloth bag of Loknath Goswami, reciprocating with Loknath Goswami's feelings. So years later, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami actually came to Vrindavan. And they requested him that, "Now you please leave Khadiravan and you come and live in Vrindavan with us." So that time Loknath Goswami agrees because that was the instructions also of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he actually leaves Khadiravan and he goes and starts living with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan. And it is mentioned that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur constructed this temple of Radha Gokulananda in the same place where Loknath Goswami used to worship Radha Vinod in Khadiravan. And that is where the Pratibim Murti is being worshipped. So years later, now he had association and he spent his time with these Goswamis who had come to Vrindavan. And after many years, one by one, they all left the planet. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet. Then Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, one by one, all of them left the planet. So Loknath Goswami was devastated and he was always crying and living in separation from all these people. But he was also wanting to end his life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again appeared to him and told him that, no, Loknath Goswami, you please hold on, because there is a very, very pure devotee, an intimate associate of mine called Narottam Das Thakur, who is going to come to Vrindavan, and you have to take care of him. So Narottam Das Thakur was actually a prince. He was born in Kheturi Gram, and he was actually born in an opulent royal family. His father was the king of that village. So he was born in riches, he was born in wealth, but he was absolutely not interested in all these things. Since childhood, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So he comes to Vrindavan. He leaves all that opulence and all that, and he comes to Vrindavan. And there he meets Loknath Goswami and Jiva Goswami. And his heart of heart, he accepts Loknath Goswami as his spiritual master. So he actually goes and prays to him that, oh Loknath Goswami, I've accepted you as my spiritual master. Can you please initiate me and accept me as your disciple? But Loknath Goswami absolutely refuses. He says that, I am so old now and I am living in such a piteous condition, in separation from my Lord, in separation from all the Goswamis who have already gone. So I am not able to even, you know, do my bhajan properly because I am feeling so much agony of their separation. So how can I take the responsibility of looking after you? I have not initiated any disciples so far and I am not going to initiate any more disciples. So I cannot accept you. But Narottam Das Thakur had made a resolute determination in his heart that his spiritual master is going to be only Loknath Goswami. And Loknath Goswami again was so simple and humble that he would not allow anybody to render any service to him. So Narottam Das Thakur was looking for opportunity but to serve his spiritual master whom he had accepted in his heart. So what he would do is, when there was a place where Loknath Goswami would answer to respond to nature's call in a field, and then he would go and take his bath in the river. So every morning, early morning, before Loknath Goswami would come, Narottam Das Thakur would go there and with his own hands, imagine he's a prince, but with his own hands he used to clean that whole place where Loknath Goswami would have passed stool and urine and all that. And he would keep it clean. And whenever then Loknath Goswami used to come, he used to see that this place is so clean and nicely swept and kept so clean. So Loknath Goswami was wondering that, who is doing this service for me, since many days I'm observing that this place is being kept so clean and so nice. So one day Loknath Goswami also decided, because he was also determined not to accept service from anyone. So he decided to find out that who's rendering this service to me without my knowledge. So he came earlier than Narottam Das Thakur and he hid behind some bushes just to see who's doing this. And then he saw Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur, he saw, got on his hands and feet, and with his hands, bare hands, he was cleaning all the stool and urine. And he was sprinkling water and cleaning that place. And this actually broke the heart of Loknath Goswami. So he came out of the bushes and he ran to Narottam Das Thakur. And he told him that, what are you doing? You are actually a stately prince. You are born in a royal family. And with your own hands you are doing such a menial service. Please don't do this. I don't like it. It's breaking my heart to see this. And at that time Narottam Das Thakur falls again at his feet and he tells him that, no, I have left all that opulence, because he felt that Loknath Goswami thinks that he's still in that prince mode, that royalty mode, you know, and he has that thing in his heart that I'm a king. But Narottam Das Thakur assures him that, I have left all that opulence behind long time ago. I have come to Vrindavan as a simple sadhu because I wanted to serve you and surrender at your lotus feet. So please accept me. And at that time, like, Loknath Goswami again was refusing, but then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in a dream to Loknath Goswami and he tells him that, you have to accept Narottam Das Thakur as your disciple. That is my order. You have to give him shelter and to take care of him and look after him till the end of your life. So then Loknath Goswami, very reluctantly, just to execute Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, takes Narottam Das Thakur in front of Radha Vinod and then he prays to Radha Vinod. He says that, today on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, I am accepting this disciple, Narottam Das Thakur, but I am actually offering him to you as your property, so you look after him. And this is the way Loknath Goswami was showing us that how Guru Parampara is formed. So the Guru actually accepts the disciple, but the Guru is offering the disciple at the lotus feet of Krishna through the previous Gurus who have come. And in this way, Loknath Goswami showed us how to connect a disciple back to the Lord at his lotus feet by offering Narottam Das Thakur at the lotus feet of Radha Vinod. And then Narottam Das Thakur serves Loknath Goswami and serves Radha Vinod for many, many years. And after that, Loknath Goswami actually entrusts Narottam Das Thakur, because he was very old and he did not want to have the responsibility of looking after a disciple anymore. So he entrusts Narottam Das Thakur under the care of Jiva Goswami. And we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Jiva Goswami was actually the greatest scholar who was there in our lineage, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya lineage. He has written so many books. He was so much scholarly in all the scriptures, Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures. So Loknath Goswami entrusts Narottam Das Thakur in the care of Jiva Goswami. And there Narottam Das Thakur meets his other classmates who are also studying under Jiva Goswami, like Shyamanand Pandit and Srinivas Acharya. And that is how they all became very close friends. And they became intimate associates. So this was Loknath Goswami's service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by accepting Narottam Das Thakur as his disciple. And then Loknath Goswami left the world. Like, today is his disappearance day. So he left the world in seclusion in the holy place of Vrindavan. And his eternal position, it is mentioned in the scriptures, he's a Manjari in Krishna's pastime, and his name is Manjuali Manjari. So that is how he is rendering service eternally to Radha Vinod in the spiritual world. So Loknath Goswami, we see from his pastime that he could have lived for years and years in Navadvip, or he could have lived in Jagannath Puri and had personal association of the Lord. He could have had Vapu association of the Lord for a long, long time, because he was present when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing all his pastimes. So, but you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan. So for him, actually living in Vrindavan was an austerity, because he was away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was not that it was ecstatic for him. It was an austerity to live away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. But he was doing this only to follow the instructions of his Guru and the Lord. So Loknath Goswami was actually showing us, he was setting an example for us, that his heart's desire, although, was to live in Navadvip or in Jagannath Puri, in personal association of the Lord, but following the instructions of the Lord was more important, and therefore he went and resided in Vrindavan. So when we say in the scriptures, when it is said that we should follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, this is actually what we have to learn from these Brajavasis, like Loknath Goswami and all, that how it is not just important to follow your heart's devotion, heart's desires and bhakti, but it is important to follow the instructions of the Guru and the instructions of the Lord. So he left the world serving Radha Vinod on the banks of Yugalkun, it is said, in Khadiravan. And his samadhi is also there. His real samadhi is in Khadiravan on the banks of Yugalkund. And his Pushpa samadhi is there in Radha Gokulananda temple, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has constructed. So his Pushpa samadhi is there in, along with the other Goswami samadhi. And the Radha Vinod deities, the Pratibhum deities, are being worshipped in the Radha Gokulananda temple. And just one last quality of Loknath Goswami before we end. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got instructions from Nityanand Prabhu that he has to write, from Nityanand Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he has to compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita at the advanced stage, I think he was almost 96 years old. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also first goes and takes blessings of all the senior devotees before starting to write. And as part of that, he comes to Loknath Goswami to take blessings, to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Loknath Goswami gives full blessings. From his heart he gives blessings to him, to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that yes, please go ahead and glorify the Lord. Write so many pastimes, narrate everything that you can in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he gave him one condition. He said that you will never mention my name in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was so humble and simple that he did not want his name, because he knew Chaitanya Charitamrita would be glorified and would be read and heard by devotees for years and years and years, and he did not want to be part of that glorification. So he instructed him, please don't mention my name anywhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because he did not want to disobey the instructions of his senior, so therefore we see that there is not much mention of Loknath Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is only because he was keeping the desire of Loknath Goswami at heart. Otherwise, it is not because Loknath Goswami did not have many pastimes with the Lord. He was an intimate associate of the Lord and he had lots of pastimes. But only because Loknath Goswami instructed Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, therefore he doesn't mention him much in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is very little mention. So we have so many pastimes to learn from this great personality, and we pray to him on his disappearance day that we imbibe some of these qualities from him. So we'll end the class here and we'll see if there are any comments or questions or corrections.
Thank you, Rachel, for the beautiful description. You mentioned about Bhuvan Goswami. Is it the same one who was living in Radha Damodar temple?
I have no idea, Prabhuji. I just read that he used to live
with... Because his deities are there on the altar of Radha Damodar temple.
Maybe. Maybe. Bhugarbha Goswami had lots of disciples also, yeah. It is mentioned. So maybe he was living there.
Yeah, Prabhupada was living in the same place.
Okay.
Samadhi is also there.
In Radha Damodar? Bhugarbha Goswami Samadhi. So maybe then he was living there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or corrections or comments? So the question is that we hear from Loknath Goswami's pastime that he used to worship the Lord very simply, but then why is there so much emphasis on opulent worship in temples? So there are several reasons for this, and especially we see that Prabhupada used to emphasize a lot that there is opulent worship. So we know that Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. He actually accepts the mood of the person who's offering him the service, and he actually accepts the devotion of the person. So Krishna is actually Purna. He has created everything, we know. So he is the Lord, he is full of six opulences. So what does he need from us? And he has everything. In fact, Prabhupada says in one of the purports which we were reading in the ninth canto, Prabhupada says over there that Krishna has much, much better things to eat in Golok Vrindavan. Then why will he accept all these Kalyuga things which are full of chemicals and pesticides and all these things? So there are two aspects to this. First of all, Krishna wants to see our devotion, and that is why he is accepting. He wants to accept our devotion. That is why he is accepting all these things. So now as far as facilities are concerned, now we know that the Goswamis were actually, they were monks, they were renunciates. So obviously they wouldn't have any facilities at their disposal. And therefore when they were rendering service to the Lord, they were rendering it to the best of their ability and to the best of the facilities that they could gather with their own loving hands, in their own simple way. So if they start worshipping the Lord in an opulent way, then they have to then endeavor to get all those opulent things from somewhere, because they are renunciants, they are not going to go and work and get all those facilities. So then they have to go and endeavor to get these facilities where it could be entangling for them. And therefore we see, I think Sanatan Goswami also tells Radha Damodar that I am not going to give you salt. I think that pastime is there. He tells the deity that you have to accept whatever I am giving you. So all of these Goswamis were in that mood that they want to always keep their life simple. Otherwise they will not be able to live the life of a renunciate. And Krishna was very happy to reciprocate with that simple offerings and simple facilities which they were offering. But on the other hand, Prabhupada emphasized on opulent deity worship. So once Prabhupada was actually asked, that why you are spending so much money in building so many big temples and all that. So Prabhupada said that actually it is enough for us to sit under a tree and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But he told the reporter who was asking him, but he said that people were like, you will not come. And therefore Prabhupada says that I have to create all these big temples and opulent deity worship, because he wanted to attract people to the deities. He wanted the temples to be the center of attraction so that people would come and take darshan and get purified. And then when they have taken darshan, getting purified, and he was not making his temples just, you know, centers for darshan, but there is, as we know, in all these ISKCON temples, there is active education also going on. So these people who come to take darshan then would get opportunity to get knowledge about the process of Bhakti Yoga. So that was Prabhupada's main thing, that we utilize, because we have so many facilities at our disposal. So Prabhupada was very, very expert in Yukta Vairagya principle, that if we have facilities at our disposal, then use everything in Krishna's service. And therefore there is a famous quote where Prabhupada was present on the planet and some of the disciples came and showed him a photo. There was a Mayavadi sannyasi who was being offered some donation, and you know, he had taken a photo refusing that donation. And Prabhupada says that if somebody offers me a donation, please take my photo with accepting all these donations, Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada says that if I am given $2 million also in the morning, I will spend it all up by the evening. So Prabhupada knew how to utilize all these facilities, all this wealth in Krishna service. So that is where Prabhupada was very expert. He knew there is so much facilities available in the material world. So they should all be utilized in the Lord's service so that those facilities get purified and people who render that service get purified. But if we are at the level of Goswamis, or you know, we are renunciates like these Goswamis were, then Krishna is happy to accept even that simple service. But Prabhupada's emphasis was that so that people who come to take darshan are attracted to the deities if they are dressed very opulently. And also Prabhupada wanted whatever facilities are available to be used in their service. And therefore he wanted the deity worship standard to be opulent.
On that point, I also heard Prabhupada said that we are not fit to do service directly to Radha and Krishna. So we should do in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. This is also another fact Prabhupada said.
Lakshmi Narayan worship is always opulent.
Yeah, in opulent. So we have to do in that mood to Radha and Krishna, because we directly we cannot.
Correct. Thank you, Prabhupada. Anything else? We'll end the class here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Lectures from Guru Maharaj.
Lectures.
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 Lectures. Lectures. Lectures. Lectures.